The April 4, 2014 rain report is up in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the musty studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this rain report. Two of the very popular sub-hobbies in amateur radio are collecting and restoring old radios. If money were no object, many of us would love to replicate our first ham stations. Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, dreams of someday having to make room on his 6x3-foot bench for a Hammerland HQ-170A, his novice receiver from 1965. One California ham who both collects and restores old ham gear is Pat Bunsold, WA6MHZ. Pat is curator of the Crest Radio Museum, which includes more than 1,000 pieces of restored ham equipment. Pat spoke at the 2013 Dayton Hamvention about the challenges of collecting and restoring old radios.
Why collect radios? Well, it really is a disease. I've done my best to fight it, and I lost. Nostalgia, good old days in history. A lot of us got our license back, and I got mine in 1968. I went crazy on Heathkit tours. There was somebody that wanted $90 for a Heathkit tour out at the swap meet. So they sure were proud of those. They were even wrapped up in plastic. Well, I've got 25 Heathkit tours. So I tell her that those are worth a gold mine. If you can get $90 a piece for them, there's, almost $2,500 worth of tours alone. Radios increased in value and desirability. In 1965 or so, you could buy a Heathkit tour brand new for $50. And so now they've increased to $90 in value. Although Bob WB1GCM, who's over in the ARL lab, has his Heathkit tour that he got out there for $20. So you can still ferret out deals on them. There's a great surge in interest in boat anchors and AM. A lot of folks are getting back in AM. I know some folks have bought these Gates refrigerator-sized AM transmitters. They were used in broadcast stations. I certainly don't have room for anything like that, but a lot of the older radios like Gold Kings and even Johnson Rangers that you can get on AM these days with, of course the sidebanders don't like the AM, but they'll get over it. Then there's the midlife crisis. And the midlife crisis is you got to have the radio you had when you were 15, like I did. So I went crazy and got every radio I ever had, every radio I ever wanted. And they all were out at the flea market. Although I didn't see an SX-88 out there, but I did see an SX-115. They wanted $450 for it, and I was tempted. If I just had an unlimited supply of cash, that would be in the trunk too. Okay, old radios just look good. Of course, you can have an FT-5000 on the desk to work, like I do, but when it comes to really just looking at it, an old radio, an S-40, SX-28, they're just so beautiful. They just glow so nicely. So, is this your typical collection? This is just a small view of my living room. This is why this wife is suffering. And I'm not wealthy to have a nice big barn or whatever to stack these things in nice shelving and all that. So the radio beneath it is used to support the radio above it. And you'll see a lot of the radios in there that you probably have. There's an HW101. There's a HA460 down on the bottom, SR42, a lot of 2 meters. There's a S38, Gonset 2 meter up on the top. Now, the most famous boat anchor station was donated by Bob Heil and Joe Walsh to the W1AW. I don't know if it's still there, but it was when I visited ARL headquarters, and they put it on a wood table, a nice Johnson Viking Valiant and a National NC-303. And I still need a Valiant. I just don't have the trunk room for it. Didn't see many of those out there yesterday. So when I went to ARL headquarters, the first thing I did is I passed on the FT-9000 and ICOM 781 and stuff, and went right to the boat anchor station, got on 4 meter AM, and really made a lot of folks happy with a W1AW contact on AM. And that was really fun. I spent all the time there I could until they finally threw me out. So I went and got an NC-303 myself. It's missing one little knob, but other than that, it's in perfect condition. I still got to find one of those knobs someplace, and I think I have to buy the whole radio just to get the knob. So where do you find them? Estate sales. There's a lot of our good friends and hams that are become silent keys, and they have these old radios stashed in their garage or basement. Of course, our flea market out there was just incredible. I just overloaded on radios that I wish I could bring home with me. If I only brought a semi instead of a town car. Ham Classified, there's QTH.com, has a lot of nice ones. Maybe some of your friends will trade you one radio for another if you got spares. And then there's eBay if you are exceptionally rich. And that is where you can really go through some dollars. I think Joe Walsh paid $10,000 for his SX-88. He's got one and I don't. And here is what I really, really wanted, a Hallicrafters SR-2000 Hurricane, just in perfect condition. But they wanted $2,500 for this thing. And I think he probably took that home too. But I've wanted this radio ever since I got my ham license. I opened the QST in 1963 or so and saw this. I've got to have one of these, 2,000 watts. Currently, I use a Hallicrafters SR-400. Which is the 400-watt version of this radio on field day every year. And we really stomp with that SR-400. Then there's eBay. Oh, this is way back. That was back when I had 338 wins. Now I'm up to 14,000. And what some folks do is they'll get a nice, perfectly good radio like a Kennedy TS-940 and take it apart. Radio chop shops. And they'll take it apart down to the last nut and bolt and see if they can sell it piece by piece. And there the guy's got four bids on a couple of the modules. And there's this idea that they think they can make more on selling the radio chopped up than they can in working condition. But I don't know if that's really true. Now, two very needed tools for your restoration, is especially if you're going to work on the radios that don't have power transformers in them, is a isolated transformer. Because these radios back then were lit up at 110 volts on the chassis, especially if you put the cord in backwards. You touch it and you're lit up too. And then the next one is the Variac. And the Variac is very needed because when you get an old radio, if you just plug it in, you blow it up. You got to bring up a radio that hasn't been used in years, even 10 years or so. Bring it up very slowly. Watch the high voltage and make sure that nothing funny is going on. Just let the capacitors reform a little bit. The capacitors that are in it are probably be good. But if you just turn it on, those capacitors are going to short and you might even smoke the power transformer. The radio is good for the knobs and that's about it. Here's some of the chemicals that you can use. Contact cleaner, you probably want to get some deoxit, which is the preferred one, but I found that the cheaper brands of contact cleaner work just great too. You want to spray those on all the switches inside the pots, remove the oxidation. Also spray them on the tube pins too. Take out each tube, spray the tube socket, and spray the tube pins. Put the tube back in and just wiggle them around a little bit. Break through that oxidation. Because every radio that sits around is going to have oxidized pins on it. The WD-40 is good for freeing up. The old rotary switches will get all bound up, and the WD-40 will get that. And a 409 will clean off some of the dirt that's accumulated on the chassis, but be careful that it doesn't take off any reference designators on the PC boards. One point is that you can find the schematics for these old broadcast radios on Nostalgia Air. You want to write down that website if you're going to do any of the broadcast radios. And they have every schematic. I think they have gone through the writers and copied out all the writers. And that is where you'll find the schematics and tuning up information for all the old broadcast radios. And they have a few ham radios, too.
You're listening to a 2013 Dayton Hamvention Talk by California Ham, Pat Bunsold, WA6MHZ. Curator of the Crest Radio Museum, and a serious collector and restorer of old ham gear. We'll be right back. This is The Rain Report, available via Twitter at The Rain Report and via the web from therainreport.com.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Now here's a HW12. This panel is just in terrible condition. We have a magic compound. The magic compound is called Novus Number 2. I don't work for the company, but this is truly the magic compound. What this does is it takes off a few microns of paint and gets down to the fresh paint. It doesn't take off the lettering, and that panel looks absolutely brand new the day it came out of the Heathkit factory back in 1965 or so. And that is a beautiful HW12, all fully restored. You also use the same Novus compound on the knobs. The knobs can be all dingy and grubby. Use it on the meters. Use it on the plexiglass. The Novus is the miracle compound to restore these radios. Now, when you go to deep restoration, that's when you're getting down to the resistor and capacitors. Here is the HW101 boards that are used. The one on the right is the driver and preselector and front end board. Those capacitors are ganged to the tuning. And the one on the left is the carrier oscillator board. So we take those out, unsolder the wires, and we take them apart. Using a solder sucker, you take off all the resistors and capacitors. Now you can measure each one and decide if it's good or if it needs to be replaced. If the resistors are significantly out of tolerance, find some new comparable resistors and replace them. Same thing with the capacitors. The silver micas probably won't change. And the tube sockets, clean them up with deoxit to make sure that the pins will fit in good. This particular unit had a blown trace on it. What you do is get some of this copper tape, and using a sharp X-Acto knife, make your own traces. And here you can see a couple of pads I made out of that copper tape. These pads were gone from a gorilla's mangling the board. And when you put the solder back on, it's absolutely invisible. No chance that you could even tell the traces were ever lost. And that board is repaired. There we're starting to reassemble the board. Everything has been checked. Now here's an example of what can happen when you try to use some chemical cleaners. If you look at the board on the right, I tried cleaning some of the top grunge off, and the white lettering reference designators went away. That's why it's really better to just dust it off with a paintbrush and live with a little dirt, or maybe just use a little light water to try to clean it off and be very, very delicate around those reference designators, or they'll go away. They silk screened those on very poorly, and they didn't adhere very well to the fiberglass or phenolic or whatever the PC board material was. And all the parts get measured, and there we go. That board is ready to go back into the HW101, and that board is guaranteed to work. You can also take that capacitor and put a little capacitor inside it, drilling out the center of it, and then just put the can back on so that it looks 100% original. Here's a radio, a Philco 60 Cathedral. I love these Cathedral radios, but you just have never seen a more abused radio that we found out at the swap meet. The grill cloth is all torn out. The little intricate work is all broken out in the thing. And somebody decided that they needed to spray paint this thing white. I don't know why. They were absolutely nuts. But the more messed up it is, the cheaper it gets. And that's what I love. So I'm going to restore this Philco 60. Actually, I think I only had to pay about $30 for it because the seller thought this is absolutely hopeless. And you can see this is all broken out there. Now what I do is I filled this area with wood filler and then kind of gently sanded it down. And once sanded down, we used some stripper that we had in this previous. You see that can of stripper, spray-on stripper. Now I screwed up. This was sitting on my workbench. So I sprayed the stripper on, and then I looked behind it, and the stripper had also gone through and got sprayed all over my keyboard for my computer at work. And the keyboard melted down. So I had to quickly go to Fry's and buy another keyboard, and the boss came in Monday morning and said, "How come you got a new keyboard?" "Oh, I just was tired of the old one." Okay. You can get the grill cloth for these, at least you used to be able to, at Antique Radio Supply, although they've cut their amount of grill cloths they have way down. They used to have a great supply. Now it's really dwindling, so grill cloths are harder to get these days. But if you look on the web, you can find some grill cloths that'll be the correct match for it. And the area on the side was all crumbled out. This is a thin veneer wood on the thing. What I did is I cut out the bad part of it. I went to a hobby store and bought some little plywood. They have some real thin plywood, and cut it to the exact size and spliced it in and glued it to the side of the radio, and now it looks really good. So there you can see the wiping off the white paint and painting it down with Minwax, the new grill cloth, the new knobs and everything. That radio has been restored to its original glory that it was back in 1933. And it plays great too. Now here's what tobacco does. Somebody had this Viking 6-2 VFO and smoked on it for 30 or 40 years. And I'm using the Novus number 2 to burn my way through that brownish gummy smoke residue to get down to the original gray paint. Here's a Hallercrafters S19R that's been restored. You see, that looks beautiful. Now, with the crinkle finish, one of the things you can do is if you have kind of an oxidized crinkle finish, you take a light oil and rub the oil on, or maybe some WD-40 on the crinkle finish. And that makes the crinkle finish shiny. And just a little bit of oil, and then wipe it off as much as you can. And you can see how nice that crinkle finish looks without having to repaint it.
Some thoughts from ham radio collector and restorer Pat Bunsold, WA6MHZ. Curator of the Crest Radio Museum, excerpted from his 2013 Dayton Hamvention talk about the challenges of collecting and restoring old radios. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2014, Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at The Rain Report, www.therainreport.com.